This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Never a doubt. Welcome on in. It is the afternoon show. Ike, Spike, and Fritz. No Spike today, but have no fear. Don't turn that radio off. Ike's still here. What's happening, Val?
I'm still here. Brother Spike.
Nope.
Yep, that Brother Spike with Fritzy. I'm still here. I'll let you boy. We got a quick show, so I'm speeding up everything.
That's good. That's good. Also, don't worry, and definitely don't change that radio dial because we got Buzz Wilson behind the glass. So it's a high level radio show here for you. As we react, we're in between games now. Obviously, the Phil's coming up a little bit later. They take game one. You can't win both ends of a doubleheader if you don't win the first one. So they're able to get that one out of the way.
And that's the type of knowledge you're getting on this show.
That's exactly right. That's why they pay me the big bucks. And they officially win the series over the Braves.
There we go.
It was a little tight today, so the bullpen made a little tight. But overall, the Phillies 36-19, now 10.5 games up on the Braves. 10.5 games up. That's pretty shocking. This time last year, 38-17, both is the best record in baseball. They are back at the top with the best record in baseball. 215-592-9494 to get in. If you're leaving the ballpark, we'd love to hear from you. It was a bit of a sparse crowd because the doubleheader, which is actually a shame. You knew that every game this series would have been 45,000, but only 32,000 there this afternoon. I assume the night game is going to be perfectly fine. But the Phils squeak one out today, Ike, and what we are calling and many are calling the Rafael Marchand game.
Well, that's what it should be called, quite frankly, because he did it both offensively, getting the party started with the two-run home run, and then obviously working behind the plate, threw out a couple runners, especially late in the game. Not sure why the Braves were stealing right there at that point, at the top of the ninth.
Well, with only, what, the middle of the lineup coming up?
Yeah, the middle of the lineup coming up.
Shout out to Snitker and Rossy Albies.
Yeah, so, Marchand, man, nice job today. We don't get to see him very often, so I've heard that he's an offensive guy.
Well, he can put the bat on the baseball. I wouldn't say he's an offensive guy.
Okay.
But at least from the standpoint of he's not a disaster back there.
Yeah.
Because
you think he's better than Stubby?
Yeah, he's better than Stubby.
Okay.
But
yeah. Certainly has more pop with Stubby.
We like the vibes.
Well,
he's doing a lot.
At least Marchand fills out the uniform, man.
He does. He doesn't look like a little. Every time Stubbs went out to like warm up the pitcher when JT wasn't ready, you thought it was like the kid
like,
they called
that
out.
Bat boy out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, it was. So he's gonna. So the Stubbs calls are probably gonna calm down for a little bit.
They'll calm down
now that Marchand had a big game. But he is quick behind the plate. He's like a cat back there, and throwing out Ozzy Albies in that situation was a huge. Spot. So either way, Rafael Marchand had a really good day. Obviously, he had the home run. Again, not an offensive explosion, and he also got hit by the pitch, if we want to call that a hit by pitch.
Still not sure about that one. What the hell?
Game-winning RBI. He did. It might have
grazed.
I almost said graced.
Yep.
Might have grazed his shoelace. I think that's the only thing we got. But overall, Phils win. Now, if you want to go to the negatives of this one.
Okay.
They went to their best out of the bullpen. And Kirkering, now he did allow the one inherited runner, which I feel he got to just chalk up as something that's going to happen at this point. Acuna, still really, really good at baseball. And, you know, he went an extra inning, and that's good. He went back out there and did a job. Kirkering, not really an issue today. Strom is someone who has just been off this year. I mean, obviously, last year he pitched to the 1-something ERA, and he was a middle reliever that made the All-Star team. He looked nasty. And I don't know what's happened this year. Maybe he was overworked last year. But to me, his arm just looks kind of dead, and his stuff looks flat in the strike zone. And what's concerning about that is they have no other lefties now with Alvarado. I mean, I know Banks has technically an ERA in the twos, but he doesn't pass the eye test for the most part. I think he's a competent bullpen piece, but like it's going to be tough sledding here until the trade deadline when they can make some kind of move here to add another lefty to this bullpen, because Strom, I just think, is the biggest question mark now out there.
No, I totally agree with you. And quite frankly, every time he goes out there the last few times, you don't feel comfortable. I didn't feel comfortable today.
No.
You know, you're almost saying, can we please get through this inning with Strom out there on the mound?
Like I felt that Murphy home run coming from a mile away.
Oh, we saw it, right? Like you knew that was coming. I tell you what. We may not have the luxury of waiting till late July.
I don't think so.
Right? Like, we may not have that luxury as far as solidifying that portion of the bullpen, right? You got to find some sort of replacement for Alvarado there. And you lose him, and then Strom's not at his best.
Yeah, I know. And then you're down to old Banksy, you know? And then Romano, I think, is fine. Like, he had a roller coaster ride of the ninth. That's going to happen with closers every once in a while.
Yep.
And I think clearly walked Sean Murphy to get to Eli White in that situation. He threw a 3-2 slider. It's a setup pitch.
Yep.
I think he's mostly fine. It's the Strom thing. It's Strom. It's the lefties out of the bullpen, and you know, whether it's transitioning one of these guys in the starting rotation into the bullpen. I mean, it's going to continue to be a concern. And if he's hurt or if he has dead arm and they have to go in the IL, I don't know what they're going to do. There's no lefties at AAA.
Right.
The one thing that, and file this under something to watch. Okay. And I'm not suggesting to do it, but I think it's interesting. So five out of his last six starts, they have held Chris Sanchez under 90 pitches. So I can't tell if that's wanting to limit his, like, maybe it's wanting to limit his workload, not feel like he needs to be overworked. And if they're already concerned about workload with Chris Sanchez, I mean, him coming out of the bullpen with his kind of stuff, if they felt like Painter's ready, if they felt like Abel could come up and start some games.
Yeah.
I mean, Dave Dombrowski talked about it yesterday again on the show podcast with Joel Sherman and John Heyman. How eventually they're going to have, this is not a cut, you're fine. I'm just saying that he was like, we're going to have to put some of these starters in the bullpen if we're going to be serious about this year.
Yeah.
Chris Sanchez, if they're already kind of limiting his workload a little bit, again, five of his last six starts have been under 90 pitches. I know we talked a lot about Ranger to the bullpen in a contract year that's hard to do.
Yeah.
I know Hugh, very passionate about the Lizardo to the bullpen take yesterday.
That's not happening.
He's might win the NL Cy Young.
Yeah, that's not
happening. I understand where he's coming from. His stuff out of the bullpen would be great. You're not moving him at this point.
Yeah.
Maybe Sanchez is the one we should be talking about, Ike. He pushed a ton of innings last year. He's coming back this year. He's already under contract. They need a lefty out there if they don't want to go to Alvarado. Or if Strom is banged up and Alvarado can't go in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Just making the case.
You point out the being held or being on some sort of a pitch count and pitching under 90 pitches. I didn't necessarily realize that, but that's something that catches your attention.
Mm-hmm.
And, could they be already trying to limit what he does? And that is more of a easier transition to say, okay, well, we're already going to limit your pitches, then you may as well be the bullpen guy.
That's what I'm saying.
And you're already under contract.
You're paid well.
Yeah.
You know?
And so there's no problem with moving you back to the rotation after the season, if that's the case. And somebody has to go there.
And by the way, Painter today, he was up to 80-some pitches. Up in Lehigh Valley. He's there. Abel, he shoved again on Saturday for the Iron Pigs. Like they have plenty of starters.
So let me ask you this. Is this more to get through the regular season, or are you thinking about what the postseason can be? Because for me, postseason.
Are you talking about if they move Sanchez to the bullpen?
Yeah.
So I think it's about right now and the postseason.
Okay.
Because Alvarado obviously is not going to go in the postseason.
Sure.
Could they trade for someone at the deadline? Okay.
But they may be thinking, are we going to get anyone as good as Sanchez without giving up something that's gonna that we don't want to give up.
And
that's really what it boils down to, right?
And you probably don't want to. I think so. I know we've thrown out the idea of a six-man rotation, right? Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with the six-man rotation is that you have to usually have to send down a bullpen arm. So a bullpen that's already light. If you go six-man, you're losing another bullpen arm. If you make it five-man, call up Painter or Abel, and then put Sanchez in the bullpen, you extend that with a bullpen arm that can go multiple innings. And he's been nasty against lefties. I mean, Sanchez far this year. So, again, I just think it's notable.
I just always remember his matchups against Ohtani. Yeah. Ohtani can never hit him.
Well, and Strom. Strom actually owns Ohtani, too. Maybe not this year. But I don't know. I saw that, I saw that stat today that Destin Legardo put out about it's been five out of his last six starts. He's not thrown more than 90 pitches. They need a lefty. Strom was shaky. Maybe, just maybe, we could see. No one's really brought the idea of Sanchez to the bullpen.
I hadn't thought of it.
Under contract.
Yeah.
Ranger, probably in the contract. You don't want to do that to him. Lazardo's been so good. You need a lefty. The idea of Chris Sanchez to the bullpen is starting to intrigue me more.
Makes
and more.
More sense. It does make sense. And you're right. I hadn't heard anybody bring that up because he's been so good as a starting pitcher. But like you said, when you look at the number of pitches, and they may be on this unofficial pitch count thing with him.
Well, and what's interesting is, so he's been good. You look at the number, it's 3.1, but hasn't felt as dominant as he can be.
Yeah.
I think he's been fighting himself actually a lot more this year than he has like last year, I thought he was just getting these runs where, you know, the middle of the game, four innings just be over in 20 minutes. And it feels like this year he's fighting himself a little bit more. So, I don't know. Just want to kind of file away there as a possible idea as we're trying to fix the Phillies bullpen. Good win. Listen, it was a win over a division rival. You're 10 and a half games up. But it's also, you got to point out where we're at with this bullpen right now because it is certainly shaky. 215-592-9494. If you're heading out, you're leaving the ballpark, or if you're heading to the ballpark, we might have people going both ways.
Oh, yeah, you got them going, yeah.
Hey, it's a nice little traffic jam on our way out of here, I'm sure.
Right. That'll be awesome.
It's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. So, and by the way, you're listening to Sports Radio 94, WIP, HD1 Philadelphia Broadcasting out of the Tasty Cake Studios. Nailed it. You didn't think I had that in my back pocket.
No,
did
I did not. Did right. not.
We will get to your phone calls and some additional thoughts on the game, but it is 5 o'clock, and we have an extended afternoon show. So you know we have to get to the 5 at 5 today with Buzz.
Each the five.
Number five.
At five.
Five.
With Buzz.
Oh, five. Beautiful five.
Just want to say,
I got to be honest, I hate that intro.
I know you do, which is part of the reason why I'm into it, and I keep it going.
With Buzz.
With Buzz.
With Buzz.
This is the first time I'm producing the two of you specifically and doing the top 5 at 5 since May the 1st. I was the only one on that particular show that believed in the Phillies at that point.
Oh, so now everyone's trying to take victory laps.
No, they've
Spike
been
every day taking victory laps.
They've been 19-6 since. They're on a 106 win pace. And in case you forgot, here's what it sounded like back then.
So are you buying or selling this
No,
team?
I'm still buying. I came into the season with the expectation this team would win in the mid-90s, and I have not moved off of that. The Mets
series did not win in the mid-90s.
We're in like the 87 to 90.
No, I'll still say they're in the 90s. I'm still...
Dump this. Can you dump this?
Well, you're looking at me like, you're Mr. Phillies Optimist. You think...
Yeah, well, 90, he knows.
Whoa,
he
we're
knows
transitioning.
You're transitioning? You're lowering the expectation already?
Everyone looks at me as a fanalist now. Not
right?
Hey, not fanboy. Fanalist.
None of you believed.
Wow.
I did.
Yeah.
Wow. So you're trying to paint me in a bad light.
Yep.
I don't appreciate it.
Absolutely. And just so you know, that has nothing to do with the top 5 at 5. I just had to work that in there.
Great.
Listen, yes, I've admitted my wrong, and I've corrected that. I'm on board.
Well, at least one of you has. Jack's still unwilling.
That's not even true either. Don't let me get in on the Phils. That's
don't
a problem.
Let me get
for, that's a problem for everyone involved.
Speaking of the Phils, the last 24 plus hours of discourse on one hit by pitch that happened two nights ago has just been unbelievable. And it is one of the all-time great old-school sports arguments that we have, I think, in this city in particular. So with that in mind...
By the way, still waiting on that retaliation.
Yeah, I know. We'll get to that. We'll get to that, I'm sure.
Well, it's going to get worked into the top 5 at 5. It's the top 5 worst arguments from old-school sports fans.
Wow, so taking a shot at our listeners. Interesting.
Yeah, I like it.
Interesting.
Number five, it's the establish the run crowd. No, I know.
I understand. They went to a Super Bowl.
They
had one of the greatest running back seasons, if not the greatest in history. The establish the run crowd, when you have like Ryan Matthews back there, is ridiculous.
Well, you got to set up the run instead of the pass, right?
I mean, that's Ryan Matthews.
I'm just saying, those establish the run people finally got vindicated because they got Saquon Barkley. That was more about Saquon Barkley than a mindset of establishing the run.
Now, when you played Ike.
Yes.
Were they telling you like we got to defend the? Like, I mean, was establish a run still a big thing?
Yeah.
Andy
the fans were still yelling, "Run the ball!"
Yeah.
Yeah, Andy's not established the run.
Yeah, Andy was not establishing the run.
It's actually.
And he's one of the greatest coaches of all time.
For me, it's where it originated at. I mean, you guys are too young. I don't know. Was it here during Buddy's days?
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea. But Andy was a big argument. And it was funny because like he started running the ball way more when he got to the Chiefs. Like Pacheco and Kareem Hunt and all those.
Thought he figured it out.
Yeah. He figured out a lot in KC that he couldn't figure out here. But he definitely would have figured it out at some point.
At some point, if you kept him 20 years.
Yep.
And number four, it's you got to get the momentum on your side. I mean, what is momentum? You go on a run in a basketball game, you have the momentum, and then the momentum swings back the other way. It's not a tangible thing.
Yes, it is.
This is a thing that just gets thrown out because you have nothing better to say.
You got
to
stop Uncle Mo.
Man, Uncle Mo?
Let me tell you, as someone who's been a part of that, and it's coming at you when the momentum is steamrolling you and you can't do anything about it, it's real, man.
Yeah.
And I've also been a part of when we had the avalanche and we're steamrolling somebody.
Yeah. I mean, who could forget the 2014 Huskies? When we got hot, it was hard to stop us.
Momentum is real, Buzz.
All right. Well, and also, Buzz, you don't strike me as a big gambler if I had to.
I'm not a big gambler.
Dude, when you can feel momentum.
That is really faulty logic.
It's not faulty logic. I know exactly when I'm going to lose a bet in the middle of a game. 100%. You can see it coming from a mile away.
You see it happening. Yes, you do.
Also, in baseball, every game almost feels like a loss. Now, baseball.
Yeah, when they have the best record in baseball, every game feels like a loss.
Yeah, that always does. Always believe in my team. But baseball, it's hard because the old adage is momentum's only as good as the next day starter. So, like, a starting pitcher can stop momentum. I think in basketball, momentum's real, and certainly in football.
Oh, definitely in basketball. Are you kidding me? I mean, 20-point
But it swings so much in the same game.
Well, basketball's a game of runs.
Yeah, thank you. There you go.
All right, so is momentum, is that just a game of runs, or is that the momentum switching 20 times?
I don't know if you played ball at a high level.
I played high school baseball.
Barely. You kept the book.
Senior year.
All right. What's three?
Number three is that these guys do nothing but swing for the fences, got to play more small ball, as if that's all major league hitters go up there and try and do the launch angle. Nothing gets old school baseball fans more riled up than when an offense is struggling and they think they're only trying to hit home runs.
Wow, that's been what people say about
that's
this.
That's the crutch we have, yes.
Yeah.
But
yes, the crutch we have.
I know.
Now, here's where I have come back to the small ball thing.
Okay.
Is that you do have to play a winning brand. You have to do winning baseball.
I agree, but not every guy is going up trying to hit a home run.
If you say this Phillies team is just trying to hit home runs, then you simply have no idea what you're watching.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Well, we can't say this team is.
So they're top five in runs, but they're 20-something in home run percentage.
Yeah.
And I think they're top five in average still. So, like.
Only one guy in double digits, right?
Yeah. So. They're not a home run.
People will still say it just because it's the thing to say.
Well, I know. Well, there's also someone who hosted here for a long time that used to say it all the time that was wrong. went talking about the team, and I think people repeated what he had to say.
Just parrot.
Yeah.
Commentary they hear.
Some of the callers just parrot what he said. They were wrong. Anyway, what's number two?
Number two is the big man needs to get in the post.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Well, they're right about it with Embiid, man.
Embiid's got to get on the block.
He does.
He's got to box out.
He does.
Well, nobody boxes out.
No, I know, but you hear it every now and again.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think Wilt would have done this?
Well, dude, every time Embiid shot a three, I would get mad, though.
You don't like a stretch five?
Yeah, it was a little too much. In fact, that's when he was getting tired. He just started shooting threes.
I don't need the lazy jump shots. But I listen, the game has changed. I enjoy the big man who has the skills to be able to shoot from the outside. But doesn't mean I wouldn't like to see you down on the block. working the post.
Get his ass in the post.
Yeah, man, he's 280 pounds, man. Get down there.
I know. Now, like, with a guy like Cat.
Right, I don't need him in the blow. I don't need him in the post.
He's got no moves.
Matter of fact, his feet are too big. He looks clumsy. Yeah, just shoot jumpers.
Yes, he's a modern big.
Yes.
And Bede, I would prefer if he was in the post more.
Although he sometimes acts like he's clumsy.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
he has skill.
He has a ton of skill.
Yeah. And Carl Anthony Towns.
Well,
he looks like he's about to turn the ball over every time he dribbles.
I know. And now that he's, well, he did make the Eastern Conference Finals. He's probably going to lose. Knicks probably lose. But I could see people starting to say, well, Kat's a better big now than Embiid because he might make the finals. Like, I don't need that in my life.
That's Embiid's fault.
It is Embiid's fault, but he's still a better player.
So get us to the finals.
I don't know if he can anymore. But
I remember there was one year Embiid, I think, led the league in post-ups, and people still said.
Yeah, we touched the ball the whole time. I mean, I hope so.
I'm just saying people get mad at it. He shoots 1-3. It's too much for people's
right.
liking.
It is.
The old school sports fan.
It is.
And at number one, it's the discussion we had the last 2 days. The retaliation, the plunk the hitter. You got to send him a message, brush a guy off the plate. Is this not the most like cyclical discussion that happens every single time?
Yes.
It's the same people on both sides of the argument every single time. It has never once changed.
Yeah,
and no one has ever been convinced the other way.
On the same side of this argument.
Yeah,
retaliate.
The athletes, the guys that know baseball, are always on the side of throw at someone.
Hit him in the head.
You want to be on Spike's side?
Yeah,
I am on Spike's side. Yeah,
why?
Because it's dumb. Strider didn't do it on purpose. That's why.
So that's not the point.
It is. So why are we hitting a guy back?
Because we don't want anybody throwing inside against our guy anymore.
This is a thing from the 90s.
Tell me why wouldn't you do it?
Because what's the point? Why are we?
Because the positivity.
The fake tough guy thing?
The positivity. No, forget
Fade the music down. We got a serious discussion.
Yeah,
now,
forget about the tough guy thing. That's an outside
I'm playing
thing.
Spike's rule now.
I get it. But what gets lost with everybody who wants to act like they're the sophisticated baseball fan and we're Neanderthals because we want to hit and you're yelling the tough guy thing, that's a fan outside thing. You're asking what it does or what I believe it would do in the clubhouse. This is a team morale building thing. So there's a greater impact that it could have from you standing up for your guy in the clubhouse. That's the benefit of doing it, not the tough guy thing that we focus on as fans.
I got you.
But from an actual player standpoint, I'm sure Bryce would appreciate it.
Also, everyone would have been fine.
Everybody would have been fine had they done it. What bad would have come from it?
The other annoying thing that your side of the argument does, Buzz, is they act like if you allow one base runner, the game's
you're
over.
You're going to lose the game.
You're going to lose. Yes. Or the other annoying thing that your side does is they act like someone's going to die.
Right.
If they get,
you get plunked in the back.
Oh, my God. Is he going to be able to walk? Bryce Harper missed the game today. He's probably going to miss game two. And if they lost.
Oh, he's already out. The lineup's out.
He's not
in the lineup tonight.
Which makes sense. I mean, there's no. If they lost this game, I would have been curious if he goes tonight. But
you've already won the series.
You're fine.
Right.
You know, we don't need to go balls to the wall to win every single game. Make sure Bryce's healthy with the Brewers coming to town. But I just think that I think both sides get a little too emotional. But the whole idea of you're automatically going to open up the floodgates, and here comes a million runs, and someone's going to get super, super hurt if they get hit with a baseball.
And here's what I'll say to those who said you got to win every game. First of all, no, you don't. What if I were to tell you that the Phillies are likely to lose 40 to 50 more games this year?
Yeah.
And if they were to lose on the high end, 50. They would have, I believe, now this was before the game, so my math may be off since they won this game, but they would be in line for 94 wins now since they won today. They won the first game. Because I did this earlier, it was 93 wins they would have, right?
Sure, it's not higher?
Where are they at?
You're saying if they won 50 more games
they lost 50 more.
They lost 50 more. Yeah. They have 19 losses currently.
Right, so losing 50 more would give them what?
69 losses and 95 win, something like that.
So that would make you,
It'd
have to be 93.
Be 93 plus 69.
Yeah,
all right, look at you doing math quickly. Yeah. I ballparked it.
That's 93 on the high end. that would exceed what they were projected to win if they lost 50 more games. Let's say they lost 40 more. They would set a club record in total wins with 103 wins.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lose at least 40 to 50 more games.
Well, again, the old
you
adage is...
You realize that, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
You win 60, you lose 60.
Yeah, they're going to lose 40 to 50
well,
more
the
games.
Rockies
so
are
losing
not winning 60.
One game to protect your guy, it's worth it. If you happen to lose, not saying you should go lose the game, but I'm just saying if you happen to lose the game, it's not the end of the world.
Well, and what where I came down on it again was I don't want this team to be punked.
I agree.
I don't think Strider did it on purpose either. And that's beside
that's
the point.
Yes, that's fine.
And Mundo Sosa got plunked. I'm just kidding. That was
obvious. Retaliate for him?
That
yeah.
That was a 1-2 count. That was a 1-2 count. He's not getting hit on a 1-2 count.
Right.
But I just...
Don't mean it didn't hurt any less.
Oh, well, hold on, man. He's got a keister. I don't know. I'm not
he
sure.
He does have a keister.
I'm not sure if he felt it. I'm not sure he felt it. But I just, you know, I want this team to be tough. And it's okay. Everyone's going to be fine.
I guess my thinking is they have the best record in baseball right now. They came back, won the next day. They seem focused.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need to derail any focus or put any more energy into this.
We don't
need to put any more energy into this story. Just make it a non-thing.
Well, I hope Wheeler plunks someone.
Well, it is a non-story now because I don't think anything's going to happen.
I don't know. If there's one guy to do it, I think it's Wheeler. I think Wheeler likes it. I could see
okay.
Wheeler saying, give
well,
me it. Let
I
me
hope
do
you're
it.
Right.
Because I think
I don't think anything's gonna happen.
If Wheeler doesn't do it, that's it. But I think our last hope's
the last chance.
Hope yeah. is probably the wrong yeah. word to say. But I
oh no, hope is a good word. We've already won the series.
I could see Wheeler doing it tonight because I think he views that he's the leader of the pitching staff. He's one of the leaders in this team, and he's gonna have Bryce's back.
I know Roy would do it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy. Celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You think Doc would?
Yeah, get it.
Plunk you right in the neck.
Now, when Hamels did it to Harper, I was like, all right, that was a little much.
Yeah.
It's a little, doesn't exactly have the tough guy.
I don't think any of us expected that. And definitely nobody expected him to basically brag about it.
Yeah, I know. You think everyone?
I hit him on purpose.
Yeah, you think Charlie was like, what the hell are you doing? I mean, what, Hamels the tough guy now? I love Colbert. I mean,
I'm with you.
Someone else has done it. It would have been a little different, but Hamels is plunking people. 215-592-9494. Do you want them to retaliate tonight? Does Wheeler have to do it for the sanctity of the team? Get in now, and if you want to react to game one of this series, or if you're heading down to game two, would love to hear from you as well. Okay, Andrew is on WIP. What's happening, buddy?
What it do, fellas?
What it do?
What it do, Andrew?
And Buzz, don't even think about taking those shoes off between game one and two.
Yeah, keep those
keep those bad boys in. Oh, man.
So, big win today. I got a couple of things to talk about for the future of our team. First one is, I agree with you, Fritz. I agree with you. We talked about this before with the Sanchez-Suarez bullpen thing. Sanchez kind of reminds me of a pitch mix of Devin Williams from the Brewers. Great changeup. High 90s sinker fastball combination. I think he'd be great out of the pen. He's been struggling with pitch count, as we said, but I think he'd be great for a 7th, 8th inning guy.
Okay. What else you got?
Next thing, I would love to see some of the bench spots to be competed for by guys from the minor leagues.
Here we go.
Maybe once a week, every 2 weeks, once every month. Bring a guy up, see what he does, see if he's better than Wilson or maybe even Sosa now. So I'd like to see that happen.
Man,
Sosa. Then, hold on. 2 months ago, we wanted Alec Boehm
bench for Sosa.
To Seattle so we could play Sosa every single day. You're telling me he's not an everyday player? That's crazy. Okay, Andrew?
Sosa's good, but I'd like to see us develop some talent once. besides like.
Yeah, but you're not bringing up.
This isn't the time to be developing guys.
And you don't want guys to come up and then sit on the bench and get cold when they need a bats in AAA. And also, you're wasting options for virtually no reason.
That's true. All right. I know.
You get a little over your skis here with the minor league stuff. I mean, I appreciate it. You know that. But, like, yeah. You're getting a little cocky.
Hey, Brincone's deadline. And speaking of the deadline.
Yeah, he's probably going to get traded.
I think that there's a couple of guys out there, a couple of lefties. Strom's been struggling a lot. I think his role needs to be reduced to a little above the Ruiz Hernandez role for now until he can get his stuff back.
Well, who do you want to put in that spot then?
I'm looking at guys like Vesia from the Dodgers, Brandon Little from the Blue Jays, and I'm looking at Brian Kane from the Astros. The Astros situation is interesting because they have two relievers who are great.
Right, but you're not getting those guys right now. That's the big issue.
No, not right now.
Right.
So the Strom thing, I think that's just him mentally and just mechanically. There's something going on that we haven't seen last season. His pitches aren't getting any movement. His fastball is not jumping. And his breaking stuff isn't going across the zone like it usually is. So I think there needs to be some work done there because we know what he can do. And it's frustrating to see him do this.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, Andrew, I feel you. The reality is that they're just not going to – they have to let Strom just pitch his way through it. Now, he was good two nights ago. Again, it's been – he hasn't been a disaster. I mean, heading into Sunday, I mean, his ERA was still on the twos. And then on the other night, again, he was fine. It's just if you've watched the games this year, he has not looked like the same pitcher. And at the same time, he's their best lefty reliever. They're going to have to throw him, and you got to just trust that he's going to work his way through it. I mean, it's as simple as that. 215-592-9494. So, like, they are about the same as last year. Not the same. I mean, 36-19. They were 38-17 at this time last year. We brought this up yesterday. Now, run differential-wise, they're about 40 apart. I mean, last year, they got off to a pretty ridiculous start. But overall.
Yeah, more guys. I mean, everybody was hitting last year around this time. Except for Casty.
Certainly more pop.
Yeah.
Certainly more pop. Bullpen was ridiculous.
Yep.
But this rotation, I think. Now, Ranger was pitching really well. Whatever. I mean, it's not like last year's rotation was.
I still think this rotation is better.
I think this rotation is better.
Yeah.
But overall, I know you said that you're back in, and I'm back in too. But are they passing your smell tests? Because I think we're now past Memorial Day.
Sure.
Are they passing the Ikery smell test?
They are. I've been sort of reserved, and even when I said I was buying back in and wanting to enjoy the team, that was really me letting my guard down and opening myself up to enjoy the team.
Sure.
And embrace it as opposed to nitpicking and being afraid to believe in them again. Yeah, I'm in, but it doesn't mean there aren't flaws and the team still needs areas where they can get better. If we're talking about winning the World Series, and that's what we're talking about. I'm not talking about making the playoffs or any of that stuff. I'm just saying getting to the World Series and really having a chance to win it. I think we do because this is the sport that I've learned that the best team doesn't always win. Meaning the team that's loaded with the most talent doesn't necessarily always win. And pitching, you get to that postseason, and this pitching is, if they're healthy and they're on point, we got enough red light players in this lineup that I'm okay. Even with last year, what happened with the Mets, you know, bats going cold in game 6 and 7 2 years ago against the Diamondbacks, I get it. But to me, that was they had been hitting leading up to that.
They were the best
series, yes.
They were the best offense in the history of baseball in the postseason until game 5.
Yeah.
Like that's what made it so frustrating those two games that they were on an historic pace.
Yeah, yes. I still remember the Atlanta series, right? Mm-hmm. Like they looked real good that year. So I feel good about them right now, man. I do. I really do. I there's room to still grow. Bryce still hasn't hit his stride just yet. I think there's a little bit more from a power sort of surge that can happen with Casty. You can get that with him. There's a little bit there in Trey, I think, that's still there where he can start to give you a little bit pop, man, and get close to 20 home runs.
He just missed 2 home runs today.
Yeah.
Just missed, though.
So I think they're – and that's the good thing. They're where they're sitting at right now, and we're not saying they've maxed out. This is the best that they could be right now.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I think they – to me, they look like a house – that it's not a fixer-upper, right, because they do have the best record in baseball, mm-hmm, but the foundation and everything with it is in a good spot.
Yeah.
But they have room to get better. Like, I don't even think they've played their best baseball.
I don't either, yeah.
And I think you can smell a fraud. I think you can smell a fraud team.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't – I don't sense that
oh,
with
them.
Oh,
we did in 18 and 19.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen teams that have had good records deep yes, in the season. And they just – the way they're playing, I think they're just scratching the surface offensively. I don't know if the home runs are ever going to come in a meaningful way. Like, are they going
right,
to go – is Harper? I hope Harper can get to 30 home runs, but, you know, I think they might be what they are. But what I do like is them buying into the pass the baton approach. And when Harper is in there, I think the thing that was happening before he got hurt is he finally felt comfortable with a guy behind him where he doesn't have to be Superman.
Yeah.
And that's what Schwarber being behind him, I think, has gotten – Bryce to the spot of, okay, I'll take my walk. I'll take my singles. I'll go the opposite way. I'll do these little things. And I just think they're scratching the surface of how good they can be. They gotta find some pieces in the bullpen, no doubt about it. And maybe another bat at the deadline. We'll probably get more into the Reese discussion tomorrow of adding like a big time bat like that. Mm-hmm. But I just they're a really good baseball team. And I think there's an opportunity for them to get even better.
Yep.
This hour is sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. We'll get to your phone calls on the other side. Again, if you're leaving the ball game or heading to the ball game, we'd love to hear from you. We'll get more Phillies on the other side. Also, Everyday Eagles and a special trip down memory lane. This was an anniversary of a great, great day in Philly sports on this day. So all that's coming.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Next on Ike, Spike, and Fritz on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I cried out, heaven save me, but I'm down to one last breath. And will it let me say, let me say. Hold me now, I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. Hold me now, I'm 6 feet from the edge and I'm thinking maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. I'm so far down.
Welcome back. It is Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Spike not here, but don't worry. Ike is still here. If you're leaving the ballpark or on your way down, we do that every day at 5:30. So if you're first time tuning into the program, make sure you tune back in every day at 5:30.
I'll be honest with you. You were a little powerful.
Yeah, well, listen.
In here.
So here's my issue.
I'm used to you being in here singing. I'm used to you being in there where Buzz is at right now. And you, like, literally, definitely oversang me.
But yeah. So here's the thing. Yes. Inside the show.
Yeah.
In there, I turn my mic down a little bit because I know I can be a little bit loud.
Okay.
Because as someone who had 11 solos in the middle school choir, sometimes you know you got it.
Right.
And everyone out there is like, wow, what a beautiful rendition of One Last Breath by Creed. But in here, I can't really control my mic. So unfortunately, when I sing, and these beautiful pipes start piping, I can't really control it. So
listen, I didn't even hear buzz.
Well, thank God. I mean, that's a win for everyone. No one needs to hear that droning on from Dan Wilson.
Wow.
So, again, first time listening to the show, don't you worry. Now, we're probably only doing it for another month and a half. So,
yeah, you better, yes.
God forbid.
Oh, is it dying? Did I miss this?
Well, so the goal is Creed's coming in middle of July. Mm-hmm. If we get Scott Stapp on to sing that, then it's done.
Because you retire it right there.
Of course. We can't.
We can't get any better than that.
Yeah.
Understood.
Then we have to find another 90s rock song to start belting out at that point and get their lead singer on. And that's how the bit continues. And that's how Ike gets further and further
away from the delegation.
Away from the delegation. And
less Corey calls.
In deep doo-doo. Now, when Spike and I just hosted, the delegation didn't even check in that day, which was...
A lot of Chad, a lot of Brad.
Yeah, Brad.
A lot of Chad, a lot of Brads.
Yep. It was...
Maybe a few Lyles.
It was disappointing, man. It really was. I thought we were
I thought we were all one, man.
Yeah, turns out. You think you know people. The Twitter question today is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. For the best selection of diamonds to fit every budget, visit the home team at Mark's. Experience the difference at marks-jewelers.com. Obviously, we don't have one up because I didn't feel like putting one up on a short show. We will get back to we'll get to Everyday Eagles here in just a second, but on to the Phils. Jordan is in Princeton. What's happening, Jordan?
Good afternoon, guys. Wonderful Phillies win today, huh?
Yeah, I mean, never a doubt, buddy. Never a doubt.
Yeah, never a doubt. As I was sitting there with heart palpitations, I never had a doubt that Jordan Romano was going to load the bases and then somehow get us out of that.
Listen, Mitch Williams did it. A lot of closers do it. It's all right.
Yeah, that's why I have heart problems. I was 10 years old in 1993. I had to live through it once. I'm living through the same thing again. A guy with bad hair and poor control trying to close out Phillies games. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. But are you, overall, though, are you worried about the bullpen? I mean, or are you feeling pretty positive?
I'm worried about the bullpen. We have to commit to the changes that we're going to make using the pitching staff that we have, because it's not like the Phillies have a poor pitching staff. They have an overwhelming number of options of starters, and at some point they're just going to have to commit to who's going to go to the bullpen and who's not. And is Nola going to be a good pitcher this year or not? And does that affect what we're going to do with Ranger Suarez or not? But I'm less worried about that. What I'm worried about, so I went to the game today. I'm on my way home right now.
Right.
Guys, I love day games. You know, I'm in my 40s. I got kids who are preteens. I got baseball, all this stuff. I met you guys at the Spring Street parking lot. So I'm a real, like, I like going to Phillies games.
Right.
And I'm there today. And I get my, you know, I get a seat on the way down, first row behind the dugout. Right? The best seat right there. You're at the staircase. I got a Phillies Insider of the Year bit for you coming up.
Oh.
But I really screwed myself today with these phenomenal seats, because the broadcast put me on and everybody I work with called me out. I got texts from people I don't talk to in the office for months at a time. They all saw me on the broadcast. I got outed, guys.
That's not right.
I don't know what I'm going to do here.
Can't they let the guy live a little bit?
I mean, you go to a game and be happy.
Yeah, come on, Jordan. That's not right by your coworkers.
I'm just trying to play a little hooky on a freaking Thursday. You know, it's been a crappy week. The rain and everything. You get gifted this 1 p.m. game, and they're sending me screenshots and
Well, hold on, though. Hold on. To combat this and you know, maybe throw a little fly in the ointment here, you didn't have to buy a seat right above the dugout. You know, you could have gotten a normal seat.
You could have been a little more discreet.
Yeah.
I know, but this is taking advantage of the 1 p.m. game that nobody was expecting. It was such an undersold game. Like, this is what you got to do as a father and a person pretending to be a professional in this world. It's the best that I can do at this point.
All right. It's still mostly your coworkers' fault, but you didn't have to buy a seat right above the dugout. You could have been at least in the Hall of Fame club.
That's what, you know, and here's my question. Half of them are Mets fans. So what are these losers doing watching the Phillies game? You want to watch what a good baseball team looks like?
Yeah, you want to watch a 225 hitter making $765 million? What a loser. What a loser Juan Soto is.
I love it. You can dry your tears on my Phillies jersey with that Juan Soto contract. Anyway, I'll leave you with this. my Phillies Insider of the Year. I'm going to make a play for this. You know, I saw some things in spring training, but where I'm sitting, Harper, he's right there at the staircase. You know, he's not playing. He's not dressed for the game. But I asked him, Harper, you okay? And he gave me a thumbs up and a fist bump, so I think he's okay. And that's my reporting on Bryce Harper.
There you go.
Great talking to you guys. Go Phillies tonight.
Nah, go Phillies. Right. That's a big scoop.
Yeah, that's a big scoop.
That's a big scoop.
Sitting on the steps there.
Alex, Howard. Call one, Jordan two.
Yep. Fritz a million. Yeah, we're just moving further and further.
Yeah, Fritzy just further and further.
Further and further down the rankings. Yes, if he missed it, Harper is out of the lineup in game two, which... Again, who knows? They lose game one. Does he go game two? I'm perfectly fine with it. And quite frankly, this is going to be a dicey one. I mean, they're going to probably have to extend Wheeler as long as he can go here because the bullpen, not exactly the deepest. You're not going to pitch guys on back-to-back days. I hope LA is not, or not back-to-back days. You're not going to pitch guys on both ends of a doubleheader. If LA is listening, I'm sorry. These guys aren't built like they used to be. So you're not going to see Romano, Kerkering, Strom. Maybe Jose Ruiz. Jose Ruiz can close out this one. Joe Ross, Tanner Banks.
No, you know what? He's just gonna need Wheels to go seven.
Yeah,
man.
Come on,
7 or 8, man.
You know what? Hey, how about this? It's Wheels versus Chris Sale. First one dies on the mound. You know, but
like that,
leave it all on the line.
We got payback.
Yeah, no bullpen.
Chris Sale.
Yeah, Chris Sale owes this one.
That, you got payback. To get on.
That joke. You didn't even finish.
Look at him this year.
Yeah, he couldn't mix in one stinker at the end of last year and give us our $90 on the Zach Wheeler Cy Young bet.
Seriously, man.
Man, what a loser. All right, so speaking of Nola, I thought Dave Dombrowski, he was on again. He's on the show with Joel Sherman and John Heyman yesterday talking about the Phillies. And one thing that I thought was interesting is he's still spreading positivity about Aaron Nola. Here is what Dave Dombrowski had to say yesterday.
He's progressing in the fashion that we'd like to. It was an interesting chore we talked about in the wintertime, pitched in the Arizona Fall League, knew he was healthy. But what we tried to do was figure out, not only from a health perspective, but having him available to pitch later in the season
Pause that for a second. So that's about Painter. Now I
was labeled Nola.
Now I might have labeled it wrong.
Oh my God.
Nah. I got to know you're locked in on that cut. You couldn't wait to hear it. You told me in the break, I need to hear the Nola cut. Now is the other Nola cut to do this on the air, I believe is a minute and like 15 seconds.
A minute 10.
Okay. Okay. So here is this Buzz, not your fault. This one's on me. So here is Dave Dombrowski yesterday talking about Aaron Nola.
Nola was not pitching well before he hurt his ankle, and now he's hurt his ankle. I wonder if you could give us a progress report on where he is, when he might be back, and do you still believe that you'll see the best of Aaron Nola and why?
I do think we'll see the best of Aaron Nola. I'll start from the injury factor. He's been a traditionally slow starter. So he did out of the gate. He wasn't with the same velocity, a couple miles an hour drop. But then he picked it up and he had pitched a couple good games in a row, very well against the Cubs. And I think it was Arizona. But then he, right before his start with when he was going to start against Cleveland in Tampa the day before, he twisted his ankle. They told me about it. They thought, oh, it's not too bad. He'll be fine. Well, he wasn't fine. And the reality is it was hurt a little bit worse than what he thought and what we thought. Aaron's tough. He's a gamer. Didn't want to miss a start. I think he tried to push through it. But there's no question, if we had hindsight at that time, we wouldn't have put him out there for their next two outings. He was just starting to pick up his velocity. So I think he'll be fine. He'll pitch great for us, I think, when he gets back.
Great might be a stretch, but I do think we're going to see Aaron Nola not be a disaster. And I do think the ankle thing was real. You know, if you can't get pushed off, your velocity goes down a little bit. So that was Dave Dombrowski yesterday talking about Aaron Nola and still believes in him. I'm shocked that the president of baseball operations still believes in the $172 million pitcher, but that's all right.
He has no choice but to continue to believe in him.
Yeah, I'm sure he's fine.
Yep.
He's fine. Although, looking back, if we could have paid Ranger or Nola, I don't know.
I tell you what, though, we're a long way away from this decision having to be made. But every time you say 172, there's no way that's being left out of starting rotation in the playoffs.
As long as it's game four.
Three or four, yes. If I feel you, I'm with you.
Going to the bullpen. And also, he's not helping the bullpen.
Right. He's not helping the bullpen. and you're not going to leave him off the roster.
Everyone,
for the playoffs.
take a chill pill. I understand the frustrations, yes. But take a chill pill. We'll get to Everyday Eagles here in 1 second, but first, here's Ike Reese.
Boy, these things come up pretty fast. Let's talk about my friends at Dietz and Watson.
Meat.
It is grilling season. That's right. Fire up that grill with hot dogs, sausages, and meats from Dietz and Watson. Enjoy endless sandwich combos with freshly sliced meats, cheeses, and condiments. Don't forget about their protein-packed Dietz Nuts meat snacks. There's something for everyone in the family. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you and grilling recipes. Dietz and Watson, premium meats, artisan cheeses since 1939.
All right, let's do Everyday Eagles.
Everyday Eagles.
Now, I know this is ironic because we talk about the Eagles every day.
Oh, man. Couldn't wait.
Couldn't wait. So 98 days to kick off Eagles Cowboys. We will have an Eagles-related question or topic every day, something different than maybe the usual topic. Is Jalen Hurts elite or not? We will maybe break from that and get into
the morning show. Got fired up about it this morning.
What do you mean? More important position. Of course he's better than Saquon.
Well.
Yeah, easy. Easy. And the camera tried to use a quote you said like six months ago. Like that they would choose AJ Brown over Jalen. I was like, oh, that's a deep cut. I don't even know if you said that, honestly. I actually don't know if
when
you
said that. I was like, huh?
Did I say that? I might have to look through the system. So, well, speaking of Jalen,
yes.
I got two Jalen related things for you. Yes. First is Insider of the Year candidate LeSean McCoy. He was on the facility yesterday.
He is an Insider of the Year candidate.
And he threw out this kind of nugget about the Eagles offense. Here's Shady.
They always have a new coordinator. Yeah, okay. Kellen Moore was a new coordinator. And
that's what I'm saying. There's not a lot of holes with it.
But the Eagles. The way he coached is like way different from how they played this year. Yeah. If I say like AJ told me, well, players tell me that the offense is really the offense.
No doubt.
They don't care who the corner is. You come over here to fit the Jalen Hurts offense.
Ike, what's your reaction to that?
Goodness gracious, man. Well, my first reaction to that is, can we do this without actually revealing sources? Like, yeah, you just go ahead and give the opinion and say, listen, I talk to people in the building.
Yeah.
And that works out perfectly fine.
Yep. The problem for Shady now, and he did this all last year. I talked to AJ. Guess what? If all of a sudden on the show he talks about how the passing offense stinks or something,
people know
who it's coming from.
Right. Right. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, that might be the last time AJ throws Shady a nugget.
Yeah, so I actually think, like, AJ, this is just you and I, you know, Ike's here too.
Yes.
Maybe just don't talk to Shady for, like, because I know people like to say NFA around me, not for air.
Right.
Seems like Shady might have to get the same kind of message. Where,
and he called himself, and that's why the other guys laughed when he called himself. They're like, hold on, dude.
Well, and if you watch the video, he's like, I talk to players.
Right.
And he tried to, like, cover his tracks.
Right.
It doesn't sound like AJ's thrilled with the offense, but whatever.
Well, and I mean, let's face it. I'm sure if you got A.J. Brown's talent, you weren't necessarily thrilled with how the offense was sort of running last year. You're happy that it led to victories and it led to your first ever championship. But as a wide receiver, no matter how humble they may come across, they all want the ball.
Yes.
And they never believe they get it enough.
Mm-mm.
So
no receiver has ever said, I'm good.
I'm good. Yeah, you have to throw me the ball.
Yeah. Well, and it just continues to ram home the point of, like, the offense has to change this year. I know Saquon's great. We get it. But, like, AJ also has to eat next year. I mean, AJ, he still had over 1,000 yards,
over 1,000,
but it was barely over 1,000. I mean, AJ Brown is a 1,500-yard receiver.
And he missed four games, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't think he's going to sign up for another year of a lot of blocking. And he had five touchdowns last year, and two of them were by Tanner McKay.
I think you're right.
Yeah,
one was by Tanner, and the other was by Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, like I think Jalen must have only thrown him three.
Yeah,
so he's a guy who should be a double digit touchdown guy. He's easily every year. He should be on a Hall of Fame track. He could be on a Hall of Fame track. So the offense is certainly. It can't be as run heavy as it was last year. Now, the other thing, and I actually disagree with this. I just want to make that clear.
Okay.
But I'm just telling you what Pro Football Focus said. Okay. So they labeled the Eagles' passing game as their weakness. Their Eagles' biggest weakness heading into the year is their passing game. And what they wrote was, much of that burden falls on quarterback Jalen Hurts, who ranked 23rd among qualifiers in PFF passing grade, despite an outstanding final two games of the season. Do you think that their biggest weakness is the passing game?
No. I think the biggest weakness is on defense. And we'll see how big of a weakness it is, but it could easily be the secondary, depending on who emerges. I don't know who two of the starters are. I don't know who all four or five of the back end guys are.
I think there's no doubt about it. It's the secondary.
Yeah, right? It's got to be the secondary.
The opposite side of Quinion's a big question mark, whether Coop goes out there. I don't think he will. And then, listen, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, for as much as they, whether it's money reasons or got rid of him for locker room reasons, the year he's here in 22, they had a top five defense, and the year last year, they're the best defense in the league. When he left, they went to 32.
Yep.
Is that all C.J. Gardner-Johnson? No, of course not. But it's also, I think
he certainly made us better.
He certainly made the Eagles better.
No doubt about it. And whomever's going to play back there certainly doesn't have nearly the experience that CJ has, unless they bring somebody in from the outside, which I don't expect them to do. So it's going to be, I think, young guys learning on the job. I understand the passing game wasn't great last year, but the passing game has shown itself to be better than average in the past. You know, I go back to that 2022 season. I go back to those 10 or 11 games in 2023 where Jalen was throwing the ball more. He was throwing the ball down. If it turned the ball over a little bit more. But here's the thing I'll say to that, to be fair to him. When you look at some of the other quarterbacks that throw the ball with the regularity they throw the ball with, and those high touchdown passing numbers, sometimes you're going to get high interception numbers.
It's okay. Yeah.
Right? Like Burrow, I think, threw 15 interceptions. I think Mahomes threw like 13 or 14 interceptions. Like we flip out about Jalen, who threw 6 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I couldn't understand with Spike. He's like, well, Lamar Jackson only threw 4. Well, Jalen threw 6. I don't know. It's okay. Both of them are impressive to only have 6 interceptions over 17 games. Now, granted, you didn't throw the ball as much.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying this to say, if they start to throw the ball a lot more, then you may get a few more turnovers.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I'll take them if they're pushing the ball down the field.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. As long as they aren't reckless or careless turnovers.
Which they were at the end of at the end of 23.
If they're being aggressive, I'm okay with those, a few of those.
Yeah, let's not get into the 16, 17.
I'm okay with a few of those.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to a fun trip down memory lane here after we talk to David in Toms River. What's happening, Dave?
Hey, fellas, great show so far. Loving it. Appreciate the time.
Of course.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys, quick question. I agree. Legend, man. I love you, bro. Thank you so much. You're the
appreciate
man.
It. Don't do it. We don't have time.
Hey, quick two Eagles things. Real quick. Like, I know, like, we talked about the elite thing, but, like, when it comes to the elite thing, like, what do you think in the top five? Like, how far do we go down the line with elite? You think, like, top three, then that's who we say is elite? Because I'm just trying to, like, you know, figure it out a little bit.
Listen, I agree with you. I think it's subjective for a lot of people. You know, I have moved Jalen in that elite class primarily because of his winning, his consistency of winning, his playing big and big games. The fact you look at his record against those guys that we profess to be elite quarterbacks, he's beaten all of them. I mean, it's not a 500 record. It's like 8-2, 9-1 or something like that.
Not even close. Yeah.
Yeah, that is not even close. So I understand his stats may not be as gaudy as those guys, but he wins. Only quarterback that wins more than him is Patrick Mahomes. So for me, that's what my argument has been, David, that, yeah, that those guys, they give you the beautiful stats and all of that. Mm-hmm. Give me the winning. Give me the winning. Every coach, every GM, every fan base would trade Jalen Hurts' resume for their quarterback's resume, with the exception of Patrick Mahomes. Are you kidding me?
In a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat, right?
Yeah. Well, that's my thing, too, because I'm just thinking, like, I think, like, the guys who say it's not, it's all about, like, they look at the passing and what the productive passing, but then guys like you who have played, right?
Yep.
We're trying to win. All right, my last thing, guys, once again, thanks for the time. Listen, everyone's saying what, like, you know, we love Sweaty Millen, but, like, Like, I live in Giants country over here in Towns River, but, like, it's just funny how, like, oh, you guys lost the... No. What are they going to do without Big JC, man? Come on, guys. Like,
yeah.
The guy's an animal. Like, the guy's a stud. So, like, I love Jalen Hurts. I mean, what kind of rookie gets a sack in the Super Bowl? But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right, not a 58, I know. I mean, it's as simple as that, David. I mean, appreciate the phone call.
By the way, shut up. I saw Jalen a couple weeks ago, Eagles Autism Challenge.
Yep.
I could be wrong.
Dude, I'm in on Jalen Hunt, man.
But it looks like he put on a few LBs.
In a good way.
Oh, yeah, in a good way. You know, last year's a little smaller. Yeah. It looks like he's gotten a little, he's certainly been hitting the weights.
I like Jalen Hunt a lot.
Yeah, guess what he said. I'm going to represent the 5'8".
Hell yeah.
Oh,
I don't even care if you made that story up. I believe it.
People are going to be asking for his best play as an Eagle?
Well, he has a couple.
Will people be able to name him?
Yes.
20 years from
when
now?
He's hosting on WIP. The text line. Don't worry, Buzz. Don't stress. And there's no text line. Brought to you by Benari Jewelers. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose extraordinary. Choose Benari Jewelers at Exton and Newtown Square. Online at BenariJewelers.com. Before we get out of here, I'd be remiss if we didn't take a nice trip down memory lane. It was on this day, May 29th, 2010, that Roy Halladay was perfect. And what we have for you is the final at-bat, the entire final at-bat, a masterclass by L.A. Fransky in L.A. So here is that.
Here's the windup. The right-hander's 1-2. Strike 3 called over the inside corner. It's strikeout number 11. And Roy Halladay is one out away from a perfect game tonight in Miami. Ronnie Paulino is all that stands between Halladay and a perfect game. He is the 27th man to come to the plate.
And who's more nervous, us or Halladay?
Probably us.
I think so. He just, nothing phases him. It doesn't appear to.
Here's the windup and the pitch to Paulino. Swung on, fouled away to the right side. It's nothing and one.
112 pitches for Halladay to this point. 70 strikes, 42 balls.
Worth in right, patting the fist into the glove. He's straight away, not deep. Victorino shaded to right center. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Paulino takes down and away.
And everybody in this stadium is on their feet.
Ibanez deep, straight away and left. All the infielders are as deep as they can possibly be. One ball and one strike. The count on right-handed hitting Ronnie Paulino. Halladay winds in the pitch. Swing and a foul tip. He's a strike away. 1-2 the count. Halladay takes the baseball back. Steps back up onto the mound. Tucks the baseball in his right hand. Now into the glove. Holds it in front of the letters. Nods yes. The wind. The 1-2 pitch. Swinging a ground ball left side. Castro's got it. Spins. Throws. Yeah. He got him. A perfect game for Roy Halladay. 27 up and 27 down. Halladay is mobbed at the mound as the Phillies celebrate perfection tonight in Miami. They stream out of the bullpen from the left field line and they mob Halladay to the right of the mound. Roy Halladay has retired all 27 Marlins. 11 strikeouts for Roy Halladay. He becomes only the second Philly ever to throw a perfect game. And he is the 20th in Major League history to turn the feat. Charlie Manuel, the Phillies manager, with a slow walk out of the dugout, finally meeting with Halladay, who exchanges hugs with every one of his teammates. And I guess the extra day of rest paid off.
It must have helped. Boy, he is grinning from ear to ear. Obviously, he should be. But you just don't see a lot of emotion from Roy Halladay. We're seeing it right now. And the Phillies, it's a shame that he's not able to do this at home in front of the fans at home. But the reason they got him is not for perfect games, but the fact that this guy's capable of doing this every time he goes out there.
A 1-0 win for the Phillies tonight. Halladay with a perfect game as he retires all 27 men tonight in Miami. What a performance by Doc.
The best. I miss Roy Halladay, and there was just no one – there's no one better to look up to from like a young pitcher perspective during that time than Roy Halladay.
Yeah, man. We talk about the year Saquon had last year and that whole greatest individual season.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that year deserved to end up in a World Series for Roy. It just did.
That 10 team,
man,
they got super hot in September.
Man.
So Halladay, of course, he had the no-hitter in the playoffs. No-hitter in the playoffs. He had the perfect game. What's funny about that, the start before that, he allowed like six earned against the Red Sox.
Really?
And I know you feel
six earned runs?
He got shelled. He got shelled in the start before it.
Really?
And people were like, and they gave him an extra day of rest because they wanted him to be right.
Yeah.
Pretty sure he used that as motivation, and he went out there and threw a perfect game. That year, no one talked. Obviously, you got the game won against the Giants was frustrating. Mm-hmm. You know, the Cody Ross game or whatever.
Yeah.
He came back in game five and threw six innings of, I think, one run ball or shutout ball on a pulled groin that he pulled in the second inning. That's hard to do. With one more championship and had Doc gotten one. It's kind of a bummer he didn't.
Yeah, I remember that night. That was a Saturday night, right? Final game at the CBP. That's when Ryan Howard didn't swing, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think of the last game.
Oh, last game against the Giants?
Last game against the Giants.
Yeah, Brian Wilson, game six.
Yeah.
But I actually, fun fact, missed the Halladay no-hitter, or Halladay perfect game. Because I was camping on the banks of the Delaware River.
Oh, look at you.
I know.
Look at you.
You ever go back and rewatch the whole thing?
Stanley Cup Finals, too.
It was game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. Did I go back and rewatch the whole thing?
Yeah.
I think I watched every out of it.
You know how they scored the one run? This is deep cut trivia.
How the Phillies scored the one run? I don't.
It was an error in center field that Utley hit into.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And wasn't the hardest hit ball of the night in the ninth inning to center field against Victorino? And had it been at CBP, it would have been gone?
Yes. Because it was at old Sun Life Stadium, so it's like 420 to center.
Yeah.
Got a little bailed out by the park.
Yeah, he did. All right. I've been a loyal, we still got a little bit of the show left, but yeah. I have been a loyal customer of the Scott Auto Group for years. My first car, my current car, both came from the Scott Auto Group. Love my Scott family. And you really need to check out the brand new Scott Kia location in Limerick, where their focus is on you. With a stunning new showroom, a state-of-the-art service center, and a car buying process that's easy, transparent, and genuinely enjoyable. They value your time and treat you like a VIP. It's time to experience what five-star service feels like. It's always smooth sailing at Scott Kia of Limerick and Springfield. And when you go, make sure you tell them Fritz sent you. So, couple minutes left here before we hand things off to Greg Murphy in game two tonight between the Phils and the Braves. Good pitching matchup, one that is probably going to extend and go a little deeper because both bullpens, I don't know, are in the best shape. Mm-hmm. Phils going for the sweep. Zach Wheeler on the mound versus Chris Sale, who has been a little down from last year winning the National League Cy Young, but still a tough task for the Phillies tonight.
Yeah. And obviously with the series already in hand, I still don't. Whenever Zach Wheeler is on the mound, I expect the team to win.
I know.
I just do. So I'm looking forward for a sweep tonight. I'm looking forward
to it. Wins still count in the standings when you've already won the series.
Yes,
they do, Buzz. Thank you. Yes. Thank you for the reminder. That is dynamite.
Shouldn't
all right.
Mail it in.
Yep. Real quick, the lineup for the Phils tonight, they go Turner, Schwarber in the two-hole.
Wow.
Yeah. Schwarber in the two-hole, who obviously has been great against lefties, but still. Alec Boehm in the three spot.
Boomer!
Four-hit Nick Castellanos.
Holy cow, today, did you see that?
Four hits, a lot of singles, but it's all right. One of these years, we'll mix in a double. The JT's batting fifth. Oof. Edmundo Sosa's batting sixth. Looks like his tush is fine. Weston Wilson is in left field. Who smoked lefties so far this year. Bryson Stott all the way down at second base, and Johan Rojas in center field. Murph is coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.